Welcome to MindTap, a scientific perspective on mental health. Each week, we will investigate a unique aspect of mental health, providing insights from individuals and the local community. Last week on MindTap, I spoke to Christoph Kassoon, the host of KISU's Navigating Diversity, and Simon Sturdivant, the president of the Sexuality and Gender Club at Idaho State University. We discussed the importance of including elements of diversity, such as race, culture, sexuality, and gender, in the conversation surrounding mental health. If you want to listen back to this or any other MindTap episode, visit kisu.org and navigate to the MindTap program link. This week, I'm tackling another important mental health topic, that is, how we treat mental health challenges and conditions with medication. In 2019, 15.8% of adults in the USA used prescription medication to help manage their mental health. And I think that actually bears repeating. 15.8% of US adults are using prescription medication, and that's according to the US Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And to link back to last week's episode on diversity and illustrate that many mental health topics are actually connected, the CDC reported that race was a major factor in who is seeking mental health support, with white adults receiving far more medication treatment than black or Hispanic adults. To find out more about treating mental health with medication, I was lucky enough to speak to an expert.
My name is Amanda Tillmans, and I'm a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner student. I'm in my third and final year. The role of the psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner is to provide medication management for patients with a variety of mental health issues.
I started by asking Amanda, what mental health challenges does she most commonly treat, and if the COVID-19 pandemic has had an impact on her patients?
Depression and anxiety are something that we see the most of on a day-to-day basis. And lots of times those two occur simultaneously for patients. In the clinic that I've been doing some of my clinical hours in, we've seen a huge increase in patients. And in patients who have previously existing diagnoses of depression or anxiety, those symptoms have worsened. And we've also had a good deal of patients come in with new onset depression or anxiety disorders.
I continued by asking Amanda, what are the signs that somebody could benefit from medication to treat their mental health?
So I think something to keep in mind is that a little bit of stress and anxiety are a common part of daily life for all of us. Medications alone may not always be the answer, and therapy and lifestyle modifications such as exercise and following a well-balanced diet should also be utilized. A good time to make an appointment to see if medications may be a good choice for you would be if you are experiencing prolonged symptoms of anxiety or depression, or if your symptoms are so severe that they begin to cause some functional impairment. And what I mean by that is essentially if your anxiety or depression symptoms are so severe, you stop taking good care of yourself. Maybe you're not showering as much, not getting out of bed, not getting dressed. You may also be having trouble at work or school. You could be having some frequent absences or decreased performance related to your symptoms. The thing we look for is social withdrawal and trouble maintaining social relationships and losing the ability to enjoy things that you once did.
And this really got me wondering, for a prescribing mental health nurse like Amanda, what is the threshold at which they decide to prescribe a patient medication? And what type of medication would they even be prescribing?
I think the threshold will look a little bit different for each patient. Every patient's going to experience their symptoms in a different way, and their degree of functional impairment may vary. When we individually do decide that it's time to start a medication, lots of our first-line choices are going to come from two classes of medications called SSRIs or SNRIs. And those are antidepressants. They typically work really well for patients with both depression and anxiety. Some SSRIs are Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, and Paxil. And then some SNRIs are Cymbalta, Effexor, and Pristine.
So what's the difference between those two groups there?
So the SSRIs focus mainly on increasing serotonin, a neurotransmitter, so increasing the levels available helps address those symptoms of depression and anxiety. Whereas the SNRIs increase serotonin, but they also impact norepinephrine as well.
But I understand that many people worry about taking medication. So I asked Amanda about the side effects and how long somebody might expect to take the medication she's described.
Right. So anytime we prescribe medication, it's always weighing out the risk versus the benefit for the patient. Antidepressants, such as the ones we've discussed today, SSRIs and SNRIs, are not addictive. Patients may need them to continue to feel their best, but they're not physically addictive. Some of the side effects that we see most commonly with these meds would be an upset stomach, so maybe some nausea, a little bit of diarrhea, constipation. There can be some sexual side effects, headache and dry mouth, but we would not see a physical dependence on these types of medication. So when we look at length of time that patients may need medication for disorders such as depression and anxiety, we look at things like if it's the patient's first episode of depression or anxiety, we would shoot for about a 6-month time frame, and the medication would be used as a tool. And ideally, the patient would be participating in therapy to help learn coping skills to better deal with these issues moving forward. If it is a second episode, it may be helpful for the patient to try medication again, maybe this time for about a year. Same thing with the therapy. If they hadn't gone through this the first time or hadn't mastered those coping skills, we would certainly want them to continue to work on that. Anywhere from the third episode on, patients may need lifelong medication to help manage those symptoms, but it'll just be dependent on each patient and their circumstances.
Amanda also had some great advice for those using antidepressants for the first time.
These medications can take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks before patients truly begin to feel the therapeutic effects. During the beginning time that they're starting this medication, they may be experiencing some of those side effects that we talked about earlier without feeling any of the benefit of the medication. This can be really discouraging for some patients, and this can lead to them discontinuing the medication prematurely on their own. And what I would want to encourage is for patients who do choose to start medication is to try to remember that those 4 to 6 weeks are going to pass either way. And even if they don't feel better immediately, just to keep trying to move forward and to not make any medication changes on their own without consulting their provider.
And finally, Amanda outlined some alternative treatments for those who decide not to use antidepressants.
I would say alternatives, therapy. Therapy is always a good option. I think patients should participate in that, whether they're on medications or not. Exercise that we talked about can be really helpful. Diet and limiting things that impair restful sleep, things like alcohol and caffeine, can also be really helpful in managing depression and anxiety.
Well, thanks very much to Amanda this week. Join me, Scott Greaves, for MindTap next Friday morning at 7:35, where I will be exploring the impact of social media on our mental health.